we as economists should think much more about the content of the audit design. Any firm, any institution, any organization has some sort of monitoring function. And the audit design can have fundamental consequences for the functioning of both the state and the private sector.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. How can we test if public procurement is working as well as it should? Well, we audit, of course, but what if the auditing process itself makes procurement less efficient afterwards? Well, that's what a study of procurement in Chile suggests, and Dina Pomerantz, the University of Zurich, was one of the researchers who looked inside the black box of the audit process, and she joins me now to explain. Dina, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Hi, Tim. I'm very excited to be on here. I'm a big fan of Vox Dev.
We're very pleased to talk to you as well, Dina. I stole that phrase about the black box from your paper. And most economists would assume that audits is just data collection. So it's an entirely neutral, not very interesting process. What made you think that there was something more interesting about them?
Yeah, when we started this research project, we actually also didn't think about the complexity of the audits. Mm. It was only after we saw that the audits had effects that were very surprising to us that we worked with the controller agency to look more in depth into the content of the audits.
And this is a big deal because public procurement is a huge slice of the economy, isn't it? How big?
Yes, it's very big. Actually, I'm often surprised how much we as economists study taxes, where the government raises the money, compared to procurement, where the government spends the money. And I'm excited to see that there's more and more research also now on public procurement. Because, for example, in the OECD, public procurement amounts to about 13% of GDP, almost a third of total government expenditures. Essentially, everything that the government spends, except for salaries and transfers, is public procurement. Therefore, in many countries, the government is the largest buyer in the economy. So for this reason, how public procurement is conducted is actually very important. On the one hand, we obviously care about how the government spends the money, that they can make procurements for low costs and high quality. But in addition, because the government is so large, it also matters for developments in the economy and firm development. In contrast to the private sector procurement, governments actually have an obligation to be fair and provide equal access to all suppliers, because privileging firms that are already long established or firms that are particularly well connected to the government can create barriers to entry for new firms, which can really hurt entrepreneurship and innovation. I used to be for a few years an entrepreneurship professor at the Harvard Business School, and I heard from entrepreneurs how difficult it was for them to break into the market in cases where the government was always using the same contractors. So it's therefore really important to make sure that the government is fair, not just for efficiency of public budgets, but also to provide incentives for efficiency of firms to develop.
Dina, there's a real problem doing research in the effect of audits, isn't there? And audits are not done at random. So how can you recover some kind of causal impact of auditing?
Yes, this was a great opportunity that we had in Chile because of the way the Chilean auditing agency chooses the entities to audit. It's not randomized, but there's a different process here that is quasi-random, where we can use a so-called regression discontinuity design. So this is a method that works in the following way. The controller agency has an internal score that they use to select which entities to audit. Mm-hmm. And above a certain cutoff in that score, entities are much more likely to be audited. So it's almost random if you end up just above or just below that cutoff in the score. And otherwise, entities just above and below are very similar. So we can compare entities just above and just below to study the effects of an audit. This is different from many other studies that have been done on audits. We don't look at the audit risk of the entity. In fact, the entities don't even know that there is such a score or such a cutoff. We look at the effect of being audited.
So who's doing these audits in Chile and how are they doing them?
Chile, as many other countries, has a national controller agency called Contraloría. And they conduct external audits of all public entities. The auditors apply very internationally standardized auditing standards and protocols, and every year a certain number of entities and activities are selected to be audited. And one key area that the auditors investigate is whether the public agencies are making their procurements according to the regulation, and we analyze the impact of these audits.
And so the big question, did you find that auditing changed the way that procurement was being done afterwards?
Yes, and here is where we were really surprised. So to give a little bit of background, typically there are different methods by which public entities can make their procurements. And key among them are either direct contracts, where you get a quote from a firm or from two or three firms and just directly award the contract to them. And another important method is public auctions, where any qualified firm can apply, can compete according to certain criteria, the best offer will win the contract. Many governments and international organizations promote the use of public auctions instead of direct contracting because they are transparent, public, and competitive because anyone can apply. And there's actually a built-in monitoring mechanism by the competition. Imagine if you're a firm, you apply for a contract in a public auction, you lose. You're immediately going to check why did you lose and was it fair? So if you suspect any irregularity, you can launch a complaint. And so there's a lot of oversight in these public auctions. Our paper doesn't take a stand on when exactly a public auction is better than a direct contract. It's clear that it's not always better. Imagine, for example, if there is a leaking roof in a school. If you now take 3 weeks to do a public auction to get somebody to come in to do the repair, and now the leaking roof is much worse and is much more expensive to fix, then that is certainly not optimal. So in that case, in an emergency, you want to be able to directly contract somebody to come in the same day and fix it. And so legislations typically allow for a number of exceptions, in which case you don't have to do a public auction. Another case is, for example, if there's only a unique supplier in the market, you wouldn't want to do an auction because then the supplier can essentially impose a price. So clearly, there's always some discretion inherent in which procedure to choose, and that's a good thing. So the public procurement officers can adjust to the situation and use the procedure that's appropriate. There's a concern, though, there might be underuse of public auctions and overuse of direct contracts. First of all, because it's just more convenient. It's much less work to do a direct contract. You might already know the guy who did it last time. Or worse, you might be corrupt and favor somebody, and you can do that much better in a direct contract that's not transparent than in a public auction. So we expected that after the audit, there would be somewhat less direct contracts and more auctions. And our question was just kind of how much. But we found the exact opposite. We found that after the audit, there were more direct contracts and less public auctions. And that's where we were really puzzled. And so were our partners in the auditing agency. And that's where we started digging deeper.
And this does have consequences. Does this affect who gets the contracts and how much is being paid?
Yes. So we found that there are real effects. Contracts are much more likely to be awarded to incumbent firms who have supplied to this entity before and to small and local firms. This is consistent with a process that favors insiders through direct contracting. You also see that really the process is much less competitive. It goes from auctions with lots of bidders to direct contracts that usually only have one quote, sometimes three, but often just one quote. In terms of prices, we cannot look at it for all products, but for those cases where we can analyze an effect of prices, we do find that prices seem to increase.
So, Dina, what on earth is going on here? Why would being audited result in fewer auctions?
This was the great puzzle we were grappling with. And this is, by the way, why that study took a very long time, I think about 7 years. Because in the beginning, we thought, okay, it's a simple study. We have a regression discontinuity design. We just look at what's the effect of the audit on improving, you know, in the process. And then we had this surprising result. We looked at the data. We conducted many qualitative interviews with the auditors, with the procurement officers and the suppliers. But it remained a puzzle. And since the auditing agency was equally surprised and wanted to understand this better, they worked with us to look inside the black box of the audit process. So they actually agreed to do additional audits, which followed the exact same process as usual, with the one difference that they would record more information. And specifically, they would record exactly which contracts were audited, even if the contract had no detected infraction, and which exact infractions were found. And this was a new way for them to collect data. Before this, the agency had only detected infractions at an aggregate level. One direct impact of this research collaboration is that they found this actually very useful. They now collect this type of data regularly, this more detailed type of data, which allows them to better analyze and optimize their processes. So what did we find when we looked at this new data from the special audits? We found that auctions get over 2.5 times as many checks and detected infractions compared to direct contracts.
Yes.
And this holds true even after you control for the size and the type of purchase. And we could still be concerned, is this really because of the modality of the auction versus direct contract or some other unobserved difference? But what makes us think that it's really likely because of the process is because we can distinguish the checks being done in the awarding of the contract, where it's really different where you're an auction or direct contract, or in the execution of the contract. And we find that almost this entire difference comes from the awarding stage, where it's a difference between direct contract and auctions. And in the execution stage, they are very similar. So it doesn't look like this is actually a different level of corruption or something underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So why? Why is there this difference? The reason is that auctions obviously are much more complex to implement. There are many more steps to do. You have to define the criteria. You have to do the open call. You have to select the winners and so on. So there are many more steps. And mechanically, if you monitor rule compliance, this will lead to audit protocols with many more steps in the audit protocol because there are many more rules about how to correctly do an auction. And since we can make a mistake at any step, probably procurement officers are humans just like any other one, there's a higher risk of getting into trouble when doing auctions. So now put yourself in the shoes of a Chilean procurement officer.
Mm-hmm.
So government does these trainings and sends, you know, memos around saying, please, everyone, use more public auctions. Mm-hmm. It will help us build a better system. This is the right way to do it, unless obviously there's a good reason to do an exception. By default, you should do public auctions. And so then you could imagine this officer says, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do lots of public auctions. And they may be a bit proud because they're doing more than their colleagues. So when the auditors come, the procurement officer might be excited and think that he's going to get a pat on his back.
Mm-hmm.
And on the contrary, he's the one that gets the most detected infractions.
Yes.
So that person's going to be fed up. They're going to say, you know what? It's already more work to do an auction. Now I'm getting into trouble in the audit. I'm going to go back to old ways of doing and just do direct contracting. And that's what we think is going on here. And when we saw this in the data, the auditing agency also agreed that this made a lot of sense to them and was no longer a puzzle.
See, it's completely counterintuitive when you first mentioned it, but now you've explained it, it makes a lot of sense. So is this problem, do you think, restricted just to public procurement, or do you think it might be a feature of other areas of, well, both public and private business?
Yes, I actually think this is potentially very widespread.
Mm.
Because this mechanism applies in any setting where people have a choice over different procedures, and there's a monitor mechanism that ends up discouraging the more complex one. And auditing is pervasive, not just in property procurement, not just in government in general, but in any large institution, right? If you're a salesperson, somebody's going to listen to your, they say, we record your calls. It's because somebody monitors those calls and makes sure that the salesperson does this correct. So monitoring happens everywhere. And so imagine, for example, a salesperson, they can choose between selling you the phone or selling you a phone, including a complex insurance product with different options. Mm-hmm. And the firm would make more profit if they sell you this additional complex product. But the risk that they say something wrong in the explanation of this complex product might be higher for the salesperson. Now, if the monitoring is designed in a way where you get into trouble for saying something wrong about a feature of the product, the salesperson is much better off to just sell you the simple, cheaper product. Similar thing you can imagine in healthcare, in many, many areas. So I think it's really one of the conclusions of the paper is that anyone who's in the business of monitoring and is monitoring people who have discretion over different procedures to choose should be really careful to be aware whether they're discouraging one or the other procedure.
But, Dina, governments still have to audit. They can't just abandon that process. So I'm going to make you a policymaker and put you in charge of making audits work better without these distortions. What would you do?
So the first step is to be aware of these potential distortions, right? Mm-hmm. What we found here is that nobody had even thought of this. So in many cases, very smart lawyers are in charge of designing audits. They're very familiar with the regulations and they're very good at assessing rule compliance, but they're usually not trained in studying incentives. So I think it's important to include economists or other behavioral social scientists in audit design. So we don't only think of monitoring rule compliance, but also of potential incentives that are created from the audit protocol itself. Specifically in the case we study here, the issue is that the agents have the choice between different procedures. And if the audits are not meant to favor one procedure over another, the audit design should aim to equalize the expected costs from being audited across the two or multiple procedures. So when we only focus on rule compliance, by default, a longer, more complex procedure tends to have more steps in the audit protocol, which tends to then lead to more detected infraction. So an equally honest or hardworking person will get into more trouble in the audit if they choose the more complex procedure. To counterbalance these incentives, there are different concrete possibilities in order to equalize the expected costs across the two procedures. For example, auditors could sample only some steps out of the longer, more complex procedure to equalize the number of steps. Or they could increase the audit probability for the shorter procedure so that there are fewer steps but more likely to be selected. Then the government could also have different levels of penalties or consequences if you are detected in the different procedures. Or they could design audits specifically to have the key steps that are most important in mind. For example, in public procurement, the validity of the justification for why you're using a direct contract seems really important. So taking a step back, the key takeaway of this study is that we as economists should think much more about the content of the audit design. The use of audits is extremely widespread. We don't think about that often as economists, but any firm, any institution, any organization has some sort of monitoring function. And the audit design can have fundamental consequences for the functioning of both the state and the private sector. But audit processes are often developed by lawyers and administrative specialists, and getting economists involved in audit design or other behavioral social scientists to work together with the experts from law and administration could promise to have very high returns in improving the situation.
Well, get more economists involved in audit design. This whole thing is a remarkable insight. How long did it take you again, Dina?
It took at least 7 years, but I really enjoy this type of research. It's probably not amazing career-wise because it takes a long time to get to publication. But I love the fact that we went into this with one question. We got surprise results. We talked to a lot of people. We combined qualitative and quantitative evidence, and we found something that we didn't even know we were looking for. So this is what makes me excited to be an economics researcher.
Time well spent. Thank you very much for talking about it today.
Thank you, Tim.
The paper's called Distortion by Audit, Evidence from Public Procurement. And the authors are Maria Paola Gerardino, Stefan Litschik, and Dina Pomeranz. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. And the best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe. Go on, do it now. And then you will find many, many more episodes and all of our back catalogue. You can also find those plus articles about the papers we feature at voxdev.org.